For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, it's that time of the week again. Georgia and Missouri will kick off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, right next door to this here UGA bookstore at Dooley Field, Sanford Stadium.
We're looking at the stadium.
Hey, the field is named after their offensive coordinator.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Derek Dooley is Mizzou's OC, and he's got to get their offense going. They've scored 21 points in the last two road games, and they're not getting it to Albert O enough. But what is your closing argument, Georgia-Missouri, tomorrow night?
A very tough defensive-minded game. Missouri had the open date. They've had 2 weeks to hear how they struggle on the road. They can't win on the road. They're not going to have a chance. All of a sudden, Georgia's rejuvenated. It's a scary situation. This is a Georgia team that does not have an explosive offense. With that, it's going to play low-scoring games. And with a lower-scoring game, the odds of something fluky happen increase. So I think we're looking at a Georgia win, but I think Georgia somewhere in the 20s to the teens, and Missouri somewhere in the teens. But very, 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 very close tomorrow night.
Well, there's been so much talk this week about the status of a quarterback in the SEC. That quarterback, of course, is Tua. Who was injured and didn't play against Arkansas. And then they had, of course, a conveniently timed off week. But he still is, you know, we don't know. We have no idea. Saban says that he's, you know, he could play, should play, or whatever. And I would almost bank 100% we're going to see Tua out there. It's just a matter of how healthy he is. But then there's the other quarterback in the league that is a question mark right now, and that is Missouri's Kelly Bryant. So that could have a big impact on how things go tomorrow night, too, for a Mizzou offense that has struggled to score in these two road games. Now, the one they lost in Wyoming, they scored 31 and you know, turned the ball over a couple times, which is why they even lost that game. I think Wyoming even had – they might have had two knots. They had at least one.
Mm-hmm.
So those will get you beat, the non-offensive touchdowns, if you allow them.
Yeah, but then Missouri got hot. I mean, they put a pacing on both West Virginia and South Carolina. And these guys, they play Georgia tough. Yeah, the Dogs went out there and won 34-0 in 14, but the 2015 game was 9-6 here. The 2016 game was 28-27 out there. And we had a great team in 17, and they were struggling coming in here. It was 21-21 in the first half. Georgia pulled away to win. Last year out in Como, Georgia wound up winning by 14, but that thing was tight and scary. So Missouri, they match up well with Georgia. So I anticipate another really good, tough, hard-fought, close game tomorrow night.
In 2014, I would like to point out when Georgia –
they turned it over five times.
When Georgia went out there and beat them 34-0, and they didn't cross the 50 until maybe the last possession of the game.
That's right, yeah.
They were coming off a bye.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. In fact, that's the last time Georgia has played teams coming off a bye when Georgia didn't also have the bye before. It was 2014. That happened against Missouri and Tennessee that year.
Well, remember, too, we got the news on Todd Gurley that week, too.
It wasn't the day before?
Yeah, it was maybe Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I remember we were doing the 5 at 5.
Oh, boy.
The phone started to blow up.
That's never a good thing.
You know what we have now to send push notifications, though? The 960 The Ref app.
That is a very well-played segue there, and I enjoy listening to you and Tyler on the app when I am out and about with the Georgia basketball team or with the Georgia soccer team there. I love the app. I've got it right here on my phone because I'm a high-tech guy.
Well, you know, knock on anything, but if something like that happened, we would immediately notify you on the app. You've got all our on-demand content live on the app. You can listen to the ref wherever you are and stream all Georgia sports programming like tomorrow's Georgia-Missouri game if you're within a 75-mile geofence of Athens. So go get the app today in the App Store. If you have an iPhone, it's in the Google Store. If you have an Android. All right, so moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. Let's talk freshmen. We're in November now. Give me some you think are ready to blast off here in the final month of the season. And who so far has been the top freshman this year for Georgia?
I think blast off, you're looking Walker, Dean, Smith on defense there. And those three guys have been playing. I think they're going to play even more. And looking for big things out of them. What about Dominic Blaylock on offense? It was Pickens. It was Blaylock who had the touchdown last week. So, we need for Pickens and Blaylock to continue to come. As far as the best freshman so far, what would you say on defense? Would you give a slight nod to Smith maybe? And on offense, would you go Pickens?
I guess Pickens has been the top on offense. There's no O lineman, right?
No. And Kenny McIntosh hadn't played much. Figured that.
I mean, Nolan Smith has been
– he's made some big plays.
Yeah, and it's just – I think what you've noticed about him, too, is he's been on the field in these moments. Of course, he and Jermaine Johnson had the tag team effort against Ian Book on their last little heave there to secure that win. The first – we talked about it all the way back in early September.
Oh, geez.
Or I guess that was August. That was still the last day of August. But the first third down of the season
Nolan
that Vanderbilt
Smith.
Faced, Nolan Smith was out there on the field for that defense as a true freshman. So,
now, there are a lot of really good freshmen. I think you're going to see more and more down the road, not necessarily this season, but Tyreek Stevenson and Lewis Seen. I think you've got a chance to continue to help on special teams. This is also the time of year where some freshmen might start to hit the wall when you're talking about the off season, everything that you're putting into it, and now, I mean, golly, and a high school season's 10 games, but just the level of intensity, the focus, the practice, it's a grind. But then what you hope, too, maybe some guys have already hit the wall, then maybe after a week or two they start to get their second win. But there's no doubt the season's so long now. If you're talking about making a run to the playoffs, you've got to have those fresh troops and those reinforcements. And freshman classes, that's a good place to get it.
The as far as the health of the team goes, it's interesting how that off week did wonders to try and get because Kinley had been banged up.
Cager, obviously.
Cager had been banged up. What, Trayvon Walker had missed a game. So is Tyson Campbell the only one who's kind of still lingering?
Yeah, he is, and that's that's been a while. You're talking about going back to Arkansas State, so that was what, September 14th.
That's the last time he played, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time for him. And, you know, he's the type of guy that can be a difference maker back there. He can really run. He's got ball skills. And granted, it was against Vandy, Murray State, and Arkansas State, but he was really, really playing well. And it's just, you know, DJ Daniels, a good player, but you're just talking about knocking everybody down a notch. It's like we said on Wednesday, it's like, you know, if you pull one of your top hitters out of the lineup, well – you know, it's not so much in that three or four that you feel it, but when you got your eight-hole hitter hitting seventh and your seven-hole hitter hitting sixth, that's where you start to feel it a little bit.
All right, moving on in the 5-5, let's, pay a little attention to the NFL. The
one tough card this week.
The 1-7 Falcons will play at the 7-1 Saints on Sunday. Other than my State of Ohio parlay with the Bengals – who are hosting the Ravens with Baltimore fresh off of a signature win last Sunday night. And I like the Clowns at home against Buffalo this weekend. What else looks good in the NFL?
Well, here's the deal. Brabe and I were running through the NFL schedule during one of the breaks. And for the 1 o'clock games, how does this happen? But there is not one matchup, not one, nary a one, which is equal to zero between two teams. Not with winning record, even two teams with one 500 and one above. There is not one game that has two teams 500 or better at 1 o'clock. So that's one that really, I guess Detroit, Chicago, just kind of an old school matchup there. Kansas City at Tennessee, I think, would hold some interest. As far as the 4 o'clockers, I think you've got a really good one with Carolina at Green Bay. You know, we'll see with the Rams at Pittsburgh. Then for some reason, Brame's Dolphins are at Indy. And just, oh, gosh, another reason we really want Georgia to win. I guess the good thing is the primetime night games are really good because Sunday night you got Minnesota at Dallas and then Monday night Seattle at San Francisco.
Yeah, the primetime does it right. Last night's game was really good.
That was a great
with
game,
with a couple
yeah.
of throwback uniforms for the Chargers and the Raiders. But I guess there's only four teams total in that 1 o'clock window that even have winning records, because you got the Ravens, the Bills, the Saints, and then the Chiefs.
And the Battle of New York, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's must-see. Are the Giants and Jets, though, do they fall in that category of, like, when do they ever play?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Now, they used to play in the preseason every year.
I think they probably still do that.
Yeah, but it's – and I know that's gotten – with the current schedule format, it's gotten weeded down, but I don't really recall those guys playing much when it counts. By the way, the Raiders, too, as you notice on their go-ahead touchdown and then on the first down that clinched there, ran a little power eye with that fullback clearing the way.
I know the guy I was playing in fantasy football this week had Josh Jacobs, so I didn't appreciate that.
But it was weird. It was one of those deals. I found myself kind of pulling for the Raiders last night in the fourth quarter because I thought they deserved to win the game. And you got to tip your cap to them. I thought they were going to be awful. But, you know, because when we were going through the last – who's the last place team that's going to finish first? We're like, well, it's not going to be the Raiders. And, they're 5-4.
They're 5-4 now, and I guess the Chargers are pretty much cooked.
I think that
4-6.
Yeah,
right?
I think that was a do or die game for them, and it kept the Raiders alive.
So that franchise is going to end up with Dan Fouts and Phillip Rivers, 0 Super Bowls. Stan Humphries, 1.
And didn't we go through this just in the Super Bowl era? Obviously, those two. Rivers, Fouts, and Warren Moon, did we figure, would be the three best who never went to a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else who's even remotely close to that.
No. Dan Marino came close. He got to that one.
Got to one.
That was it, though. That was early.
It was early.
And that was – it was not often.
What was the Pepsi commercial line?
Hey, Joe, I'm buying next time.
But Kevin told me that at the party after they won the Super Bowl, he said, so we'll see you next year in Pasadena. Well, they didn't go back until 2000. So the thing is, though, back then, the NFC was so good. I mean, the Redskins, the Giants, the Bears, the 49ers, and it was just powerhouse stacked.
Well, and they ended up with the two things. One is that Ditka and Buddy Ryan always hated each other.
And then when
McMahon got hurt, they were mad that they, instead of letting Tom Zach take over the team, they actually brought in Doug Flutie.
To quote Richard Ditka, we brought in a midget.
Yes. Yes, he did say that.
It's like, whoa, okay.
And then, like, Flutie was a really good NFL quarterback.
Sure he was. But it was just one of those things that wasn't.
The chemistry wasn't there. But more than anything, it was like basically you had – the Bears were always at war with each other because the offense didn't like the defense because it was Ditka and Buddy Ryan.
We'll get Kevin on one day. It was past football season. But, I mean, he was telling me in 80, he felt like that Buddy Ryan, like, kicked Ditka out of a defensive meeting. You're thinking, like, oh, my God. But the magic of Ditka, though, he obviously recognized what they had. Don't do anything to mess this up. And he knew Buddy Ryan was going to be moving on to a head coaching job, but
yeah, and then he went to the Eagles.
That team, though, that's still when you talk about great movies that have staying power, those 85 Bears, they've got it too,
big time. And they haven't, the Cubs finally won the World Series,
right?
But for the
so did the White Sox,
so did the White Sox.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, but like no other Chicago team is, or the Bear, I should say, Bears teams. The Bulls were pretty good after that.
Yeah, they had a pretty good guy.
They won a few. I think the Blackhawks have won a couple Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, finally we'll wrap up the 5-5. There is a big game tomorrow. It is Alabama and LSU. So let's do a top five like we normally like to roll out for the big games. The top five, the key figures tomorrow in Tuscaloosa.
All right, well, you got the quarterbacks are 1 and 2.
Yep.
Pick your receivers next. I'm a Judy guy.
Okay. I mean, Devontae Smith, Judy, Ruggs.
Yeah.
We've seen them all.
And then I think you'd probably go Delpit next at safety.
And he got hurt in the Auburn game.
Yeah. They had their best linebacker out, but
not
Mike
like
could come back.
Team.
And, yeah, I don't really know what's going on there. And then, I mean, golly, there's so many guys that said, would you maybe lean Leatherwood then? Just because you know, even if Tua does play, LSU, I'm not saying they're going to try and hurt him. They're going to do everything they can to make him uncomfortable. So I might throw Leatherwood in there.
Put a little hot sauce on their hits. Here's what the list I got. I got Burrow and Tua. I got Delpit there in the secondary. I also put, because the kid's a true freshman, but that Derek Stingley for LSU is as good a corner as any in the country already. Like, teams already just don't throw to him. And for my fifth, as I love Coach O. I love that he has reinvented himself here at LSU, and I thought the guy, it was a joke that they made him the head coach.
I agree, but he's done a great job.
Yeah, but I'm still, like, to me, Nick Saban then becomes the fifth guy, because it's Nick Saban, Coach O. It's one of those where I know LSU didn't play last week either, but Saban with time to prepare, and now you're going to be able to throw out there that, hey, they're ranked higher than you. Everyone wants them to win. I don't know that everyone's picking them to win, but it does, oddly, it feels like Bama is sort of back in that underdog role that I believe the last time they were in that role was in 2015 here in Athens, and we know how that worked out.
Yeah, that was not good. The one thing for LSU, though, and here's where you also give Coach O credit, that Joe Brady's a difference maker. I mean, that's an X's and O's mind that can match Saban's.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what Coach O was willing to do is, you know what, this isn't how I want football to be, but it's how I see football being. And so he brought him in to organize that passing attack. And if LSU wins tomorrow, now that this Chase Young for Ohio State is
They'll be number one, yeah.
Well, and since Young is not playing tomorrow, and who knows if he'll be back this season. If LSU wins tomorrow, then Burrow wins the Heisman. There's nothing that will keep him from winning the Heisman.
He would definitely be the front runner at that point.
Because the only other guy that seems to have some steam on that is what Young has done defensively for Ohio State. But still, he's a pure defensive player, and now he's not playing tomorrow because he says he took a loan from a family friend but did pay it back. But it turns out that family friend – is a sports agent.
Hey, it's a coincidence.
Yeah. So he's out tomorrow, and I don't know if he'll work his way back in or not. They play Maryland tomorrow, and next week they play Rutgers. So they got a couple weeks to try and
get to suspend you for two games, and you'll be good to go.
You'll be good to go. I can't wait for Sunday night to get here, though. I'm going to be refreshing my computer all day Sunday to see when lines come out for just exactly what the number is on Ohio State Rutgers.
And that's the thing. Without him, what, instead of being 58, will it be 55? I mean, does it even matter?
It's going to be in the 50s. I don't think it matters.
And that would be, we think, the highest line ever for an intra-conference game in a major conference.
Has to be. Well, because I think it's been Stanford – USC, although Ohio State's favored by 43 tomorrow, so that would be the new one, I think.
Right, right.
It's a conference game.
That's insane.
They're playing Maryland, which is a conference game.
And then Rutgers.
Yeah.
Is that New Jersey Tech? No.
I forgot to look that up. All right, there's today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.